Lord, God is still alive and active in helping us, supporting us. Yes, let us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is our perfect of our faith and also of our faith. As she shared, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Amen. Okay, this morning the word of God given to us, Matthew chapter 26, verse 47 to 56. Matthew 26, chapter, verse from 47 to 56. Okay. Let us read alternatively. Let me start. Verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him, was the last crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servants of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me." Amen. This is the word of God. May God bless all of us with his living and powerful active words. Last time we saw at Gethsemane the passion of Jesus Christ, a man, Jesus Christ's passion. We saw his agony, loneliness, and absolute trust in his heavenly Father God, and prayer, honest prayer, and finally great courage. Yes, at Gethsemane, Jesus prayed honestly, believingly, perseveringly, and submissively. After this prayer at Gethsemane, Jesus rose from his knees to go out to the battle of life. Jesus knew that Judas and the arresting officers were near. So Jesus awakened his sleeping disciples and prepared them for what was coming soon. You know, in this story, the fact that this band of soldiers, Rome soldiers, and the temple guards carried weapons, swords, lanterns, clothes, shows that Judas did not really understand who Jesus was. Maybe it was not necessary for Judas to betray Jesus Christ with a kiss, because Jesus came to them and calmly surrendered. Yes, it is very tragic to see how Judas cheapens everything he touched. You know, at that time, it was customary for disciples to kiss their teacher as a sign of respect, affection, and submission. But in this case, Judas' kiss was a sign of betrayal. Betrayal. Today around us, there are many Abrahams, Isaacs, Jacobs, Davids, Philips, Peters, Pauls, James, Johns, many, many. But nobody likes to name his son Judas. You know, actually, the meaning of Judas is good. Judas means literally praise, praise God. But today, nobody likes to name his son or daughter Judas. Why? Because of this man, Judas. So we must know that we are responsible for our name. Your name, your name's meaning is good, but you must know that you are responsible for your name, the meaning of your personal name. Actually, I mentioned the last time we saw his passion as a true man, pure man, not God. His agony, loneliness, trust, and honest prayer, and finally, courage, great courage, to confront what is coming to him. And now he's almost at the end of his earthly life. So I think, I believe now is a good time to memorize and study the character of Jesus Christ in order to know the example and the ideal of Christians' life, Christians' walk. Because one of the purposes of the incarnation is Jesus might set example for us. Jesus said one time in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Also, 1 Peter 2:21 says, to this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. 1 John 2:6 said, whoever claims to live in Jesus Christ must walk as Jesus did. So if Jesus is our Savior and the Lord and the King, no question that Jesus is our example. Jesus is our model as perfect man, as pure man, not as God. What kind of man we should be in this world? So, at this point, let us summarize and study and review once again what is the character of man. Not as God, but as man, pure man, full man, real man, true man. Okay? First, number one, Jesus is a man of absolute holiness as a man. Jesus was holy and righteous man. Jesus was absolutely, completely holy, not only in his nature, but also in his conduct, in his character. He was without sin. He was completely, absolutely sinless. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, but was without sin. Yes, we know in this situation, Jesus committed no sin, no deceit, no cheating, no cunning was found in his mouth. When so many people hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he just endured. He just endured. He did not do anything. He did nothing when he suffered. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might live for righteousness and we might die for sin. We might die to sin. So by his wounds, we have been healed. By his wounds, we have been cured. The Bible says we are to be holy because he is holy. We must be holy because our example, Jesus, is holy. However far we may fall away from being like Jesus Christ, we have no excuse for choosing lower example, lower ideals than the scriptures hold out for us. Jesus Christ is our example of sinless perfection. It is nothing short of absolute perfection. Since the creation of the world, among human beings, since the creation of the world, only Jesus Christ was the one who is infallible, completely, totally, not only in his teaching, but also in his character. Yes, it is very necessary that we should have an illustration of what God wants us to be. Jesus is a believer's savior. Of course, Jesus is a believer's example. Then Bible says all the time, to the unsaved, believe in Jesus Christ and live. And to the saved, Bible says, follow Jesus Christ in his steps. This order is never reversed. All the time. For example, in the Exodus, we can see when Moses came down from the mountain, Mount Sinai, where he had spoken face to face with God, his face shone, just like sunshine. It means spiritually, similarly, we Christians are being changed, transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ by beholding as in a mirror the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is a man of absolute holiness, so we must be holy. We must try, we must do our best to be holy because he is our example, model, ideal. What kind of man we should be in this world as Christian, as believers. Secondly, in this story, we can see, number two, Jesus was truly humble. Jesus was a man of true humility. Yes, this was seen very clearly in his humiliation. Even though he was equal with God, he was original God. Do you believe and agree? Jesus was original God. Jesus was a very nature God, true God. Jesus was God himself, but he emptied himself willingly. And he was found in the likeness of a sinful man. He took on the form of a servant, he humbled himself and went to the place of ignominious, shameful death of the cross. Yes, his humility was seen in his conduct while he was on earth in human being's body. Actually, he was very rich because his hometown was in heaven. He who was rich became poor to make us rich for our sakes. Yes, we know he was born in a manger, in a stable, animals food box. Is there anybody who was born in animals food box? Nobody. But Jesus was born in animals food box, eating house. That is called a stable or a manger because there was no room for him to be born in that in. During his staying, teaching, preaching, healing, he had no place to put his head. He lived like as homeless people. Is there anybody homeless people? He lived in this world as homeless people. Yes, he was a master. He was the master of his disciples, but he washed the feet of his disciples, even the feet of Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. Knowing that, Jesus is our Savior, but he wants to serve us. Jesus is our Lord, but he wants to be recognized as our friend, best friend. Jesus is our King, but he wants to be recognized as our brother, as co-heir with us before God. Jesus is our God, but Jesus became a man to experience our experience. Bible says, God gives grace to the humble, but God rejects the proud. We must be humble, just like our Lord, our example, Jesus Christ was so humble in his character, in his nature, in his conduct, in his attitude. Amen? Number three, Jesus was and is thoroughly meek and gentle. Jesus was a man of meekness and gentleness. He himself said, we know, I'm gentle and humble in heart. Come to me, learn from me, and you will find rest, peace for your souls. Apostle Paul exhorts the Corinthian church, saying, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. His meekness is seen very clearly in his not breaking the bruised reed, and also not extinguishing, not snuffing out the smoldering wick. Yes, in this story, when Judas came to him to betray him with a kiss, Jesus called Judas how? Friend. Yes, Jesus knew very clearly Judas came to him to betray him, to sell him with a kiss. And Jesus called him friend. Friend, you are my friend. It means his gentleness is seen more clearly in his dealing with Judas, who would betray him. Also, his gentleness was seen because he was so kind and gentle to those who crucified himself that he prayed for them. Father God, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. They would crucify him soon, maybe next time, but Jesus prayed for them. Jesus interceded for them. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Bible says the workers, the workers of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. The Bible says Jesus never quarreled. Jesus never cried out. So during his earthly life, nobody heard his voice on the street. Sometimes, did you cry out? How about Jesus' story? How about, should we cry out or not? What do you think? In case of Jesus, it is a very good example we should follow, we should imitate. You know, in prayer, Jesus cried out to God. But on the street, he never cried out to man. Let me repeat once again. In his prayer, kneeling down before God, he cried out. But on the street, before men, he never cried out. This is one of good examples we should follow. Okay, number four. Jesus was perfectly balanced man. He was a man of perfect balance. Yes, Jesus was grave. He was very, very serious, but without being gloomy. He was not gloomy. He was not melancholy. He was not depressed. But he was so serious and grave. How about, do you think Jesus' life was joyful or sorrowful? In his earthly life, joyful, sorrowful, both, yes. Isaiah speaks of Jesus' earthly life. He was despised and forsaken by men. A man of sorrows, Jesus was a man of sorrows, very, very acquainted with griefs. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yes, totally. He was a man of sorrows. He was a man of griefs. But, in other words, also in other sense, he was a man of joy. He was joyful. That's why Jesus says, even before the crucifixion, he said to his disciples, I have told this to you so that my joy may be in you, and then your joy may be complete. And his final praying, his final interceding prayer for his people and for all his believers in the future, he prayed to God like this. Father God, I'm coming to you soon, but I'm telling this while I am in this world. Why? Because they, my followers, my believers, they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Means Jesus was a man of full joy. What does this mean? He was a man of full sorrow, and at the same time, he was a man of full joy. It means he sorrowed totally. He sorrowed totally over those who willingly rejected his free salvation, free gift, eternal life. It means he bore, he carried all humans' griefs and sorrows. But at the same time, his joy was the joy of future. His joy was the joy of anticipation. The joy of seeing, looking at huge multitude of souls saved and with him forever and ever in his glory. Then what kind of life we should be as Christian life in this world? Joyful and sorrowful. Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Would you greet to your next? Please rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. It means no rejoice outside the Lord. Rejoice is made possible only in the Lord always. That's why the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always, be joyful always. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Yes, God, our good Father, wants us to be joyful all the time. But same Bible, In one place, the Bible says, rejoice, rejoice, be joyful always in the Lord. But same Bible, another place says, blessed are you who weep, and you shall laugh. Cursed are you, woe to you who laugh now. You will be sad. You will mourn and weep. What does this mean? Yes. When we look at the Lord, we rejoice. But when we look at the lost around us, we must be able to be sorrowful spiritually. Okay, number five, Jesus was a man of a diligent worker. He was an insistent worker. Jesus says, because my Father God is working, I am working. My Father God is working up to now, I am working. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. But soon night is coming when nobody can work. How about in your life now, is daytime or nighttime? As long as it is daytime in your life, you and me, we should work the works of him who sent Jesus Christ in this world to save us, to give us eternal life. You are young, even though no matter how you are young, night is coming soon. And nighttime, nobody can walk. You know, in his earthly ministry, sometimes Jesus forgot food, meal, and rest and sleeping. Even on the cross, he forgot his own death pain when he had opportunity of helping a needy soul to save his next crucified man. He forgot his pain of death. His earthly ministry, his work consisted of teaching and preaching, healing the sick, casting out demons, driving out demons, raising the dead, and saving the lost, and calling and training his disciples. This is kind of work we should do in this world. Okay, finally, last number one, he was a man of love, genuine love. Yes, we sang a song a few minutes ago. No love is higher, do you remember? No love is higher, no love is wider, no love is longer, no love is deeper than the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus is totally, absolutely immeasurable. How wide, how high, how deep, how long. His love is divine love, unconditional love, unfailing love, unending love, unselfish love, incomparable love. While we were still sinners, enemies against God, Jesus loved us as far as to die on the cross to make us children of God, to make us friends of God, to make us saints, from sinners to saints. This is the love of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, Jesus Christ, who loved us. Sister shared in her personal testimony, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. It means we are super conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us. We can be sure, we can be confident, we can be convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the future nor present, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nothing, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, conclusion, we can say like this, looking at the ministry of Jesus Christ, we are totally free. Are you free? But the question important is from what? From what? Are you free? We are free from condemnation. We are free from judgment because Jesus died for us and we have his righteousness. We have his justice. Also, we are free from defeat because Jesus is living now in you, in me, by the Holy Spirit, and we are sharing his life by faith in the Holy Spirit. Also, we are totally free from discouragement because Jesus is coming soon, and we will share his glory when he comes in body. And finally, we are free totally from fear. Do you have any kind of fear? We are free totally from fear, because Jesus is still praying for us, interceding for us, and we cannot be separated from the love of Jesus Christ. No condemnation, no separation. Shall we bless you next? No condemnation in Jesus Christ. No separation from the love of Jesus Christ. Okay? From his earthly ministry up to crucifixion, our conclusion is no condemnation in Jesus Christ and no separation from the love of Jesus Christ. This is our testimony. This is our song. This is our victory. This is our pronunciation. This is our proclamation. May God bless all of us in this assurance. No condemnation in Jesus Christ and no separation from the love of Jesus Christ. Our Savior, our Lord, our King, our God, and our example, our Mother. Amen. Shall we pray together? Father God, right now, more than anything else, we praise you. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our King, our God, and as a human being, our example of what kind of man we should be in this world, in our attitude, in our character, in our conduct, in our thought, in our idea, in our purpose, in our motivation, in our dream, in our vision. Father God, thank you for Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Oh Lord, in Jesus Christ, we know no more condemnation. From the love of Jesus Christ, no more separation. We are very secure. We are very safe. Simply because Jesus is in us and we are in Jesus Christ. This is spiritual and wonderful and permanent forever and ever unity by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All glory back to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray together in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.